Blog Talk Radio.
This is Conglomerate Radio.
Can you get me some salt and vinegar chips? And some now and laters? Oh, I really want a tropical fantasy. Some butter crunch cookies and Drake cake.
Of course, why would it work? Why would it work? We get nothing for this.
You're an idiot.
It's the greatest show in the world, you fucking asshole.
All they do is sit out there and talk about garbage. They just talk, talk, talk.
And don't forget my skills. It's because you are going to Dalavega.
The verbal barbershop is in order.
Oh, good!
The following program may contain adult language and theme. Listener discretion is advised.
All right. Wake up, motherfuckers. We up in the building.
Okay.
That's my official intro. Anyway, everybody, welcome to the bodega. I am yours truly, the PAB, in full effect with the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Brown and Bubbly himself. DJ Sid, up in the building.
What up? And yep. Thank you. And the third man in the booth.
No, I'm ignoring him. Anyway,
okay.
Yeah, so welcome everybody to the bodega. We're going to talk hip-hop, everything else. We may have a guest tonight at the half-hour mark, which if it goes down, that should be interesting. A lot of things happen. If we just want to jump into this, because I've got the disclaimer out the way, we did a live appearance as we put out there over a week ago.
Yes. Well, yes and no.
Oh, man. All right. Where should we start? Now, first off, yesterday there's a makeshift half an hour show with audio that was recorded. And some music in between the, you know, for filler. It's not all the audio, but it's a good chunk of the audio because we didn't get too much audio.
Right.
Do you want to explain this, or do I want to explain why there wasn't a full show, you know, a full show recorded?
You know what? I'll let you try to explain this, and then I'll try to chime in with thoughts.
All right. Should I do this for our Universal listeners, or should I do it for all our thug ghetto listeners?
Try a little bit of both. How about that?
All right. All right. You know what I'm saying, man? Like we roll up in the spot. You know what I'm saying? Like I came up and threw that in the Jeep with the boom pow, like boom boom ch, boom boom ch, ch, hit up the spot. You know, up in Max's Memphis Barbecue, quite a wonderful restaurant. I would wonderfully suggest it. I did not get to have any of the meals, but I did get to have some of their drinks. Good bartender. Anyway, so I was up in the spot, right, chilling up in the crib. You know, when I was in the crib, I was rolling down the spot. I rolled over to the spot. I was up in there like, whoa, whoa. And then I rolled up in there. I was like, yo, where's my peeps at? My peeps, they had not arrived yet. The DJs for the evening had not arrived at a planned gig that was supposed to start at 10 o'clock, yet I was there at by 9:30, just sitting in the parking lot, just kicking it old school, you know what I'm saying, parking lot pimping player, parking like parking lot pimping. And then about 9:55, I find out the DJs, DJ yeah. Sid himself.
Well, technically, I wasn't scheduled to actually DJ the event, so.
DJ
Punk? I was just doing the show. I was just doing the show with you. But.
Yeah, it was supposed to be us doing the radio show, or we were going to record a show to be played, a one-hour deal, or longer.
Right.
And the gig was for DJ Monk's birthday, right. And also DJ Will was going to be up in the spot, also DJing. So. They came through about 10, yo, we rolled up in there kind of like boom, 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 trying to set everything up like, yo, what's up, we got to get this party crack-a-lacking before players want to come up in here like, yo, what's up, you know, so we was all up in there just chilling in the cut, laying low in the cut, bumping out the music, just get it boom, banging, just send it off, yo, we trying to tear the roof off, you know what I'm saying, you feeling me, punk? Yeah, I'm just not feeling it. I'm going nowhere with that.
Okay.
I just want to say that.
Son of a bitch.
Just get that out the way. I'm going nowhere with that. Yeah, so for those that could figure out anything I said, either way, everybody ran late. Everybody ran late, even myself. I got there at 9:30. I should have been there. We all should have been there by 9. It didn't happen like that.
Earlier than that, but...
But 9, like, the latest, and it didn't happen. They got there by 10. It was basically get in there, set up everything, and get it going. So it did not happen. I did have, like, a little recorder on me, like, for dictation and stuff. And we used that to record stuff. I did a half-an-hour show with those recordings yesterday, like I said, with some music as filler. And it is what it is. But we should have known something was going to happen. We just should have known.
You know what? I kind of agree with you on that one. I mean, there's a lot of things. I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus.
Don't worry. On the audio that was played, Meticulous Teeth is the one to blame, or that's the one that gets blamed.
Well, for the most part, it's the truth. I mean, he's being meticulous about stuff. I mean, me and Will were already there. You know what I mean? So it was just pretty much... Supposedly, it was supposed to be pack up and go.
Yeah, so it is what it is. So we got there late, so there was no there's no full episode. I got a 30-minute episode out of it, barely. That's if anybody could even understand the audio and certain parts of it. You know what I mean? Because the music was so loud.
Yeah.
And
it was just a bad night. You know, you ever have those good nights, you get bad nights. It's just like they got a bad night on the tables when I actually got on.
Oh, my God. Let's see. How many things? See, this is a bad sign, at least for me. How is it that I got there early?
Yeah.
Nobody was there. I decide I'm not waiting up in the spot. Because let me tell everybody about Red Hook, New York. And I'm not talking, and again, not Brooklyn. Upstate, Red Hook.
No, real top Red Hook, upstate, yeah.
All right. We're keeping it 100. I think I was the first Puerto Rican up in that spot, like, in a week.
All right. Probably about a month, my friend.
All right. So, needs to say, I was going to keep my ass in the parking lot. I ain't no motherfucking Rosa Parks. My ass was keeping it in the parking lot.
Right.
Until everybody else came through. So when everybody else came through, how is it? I don't know nobody up there. The only people I knew at this venue were anybody associated with the DJs. How is it I walk up in the spot and I have some crazy ass drunk lady coming up to me saying she heard about a 6-foot Puerto Rican and didn't believe it? When did I become Sasquatch? When did I be?
you know what? Honestly, I honestly had no idea. That kind of took me back a little bit. Maybe she's a fan of the show. I don't know. If that's the case, thank you.
Oh, man. But that was a sign. Then the fact that she bothered all the DJs for about 10 minutes straight.
Because
she wanted to hear old school stuff. She wanted to hear old school R&B, like 60s, 70s R&B. And while everybody's plugging in everything, like it wasn't even powered on yet. Speakers weren't even hooked up. She's looking in the computer that Monk uses to store the music, because it's a new day and era, people. And she's like, what did she want? She wanted Earth, Wind, and Fire. But she was like, Gap Band's good. Barry White's good. Keep in mind, they haven't played one song. They're still plugging in everything. And she came back and forth to the table, what, about like 3 or 4 times? No, not even. I'm sorry. We counted. It was about 9 times.
We counted, yeah. You were clocking 8 or 9 right there.
8 or 9 within like the first 10 minutes. It was like, are you crazy? At one point, Will, one love to Will, man. He was like yelling at me, just like, Pablo, please. Because Meticulous Monk and Sid here had to disappear to get the nicotine fix. You know, so it was just crazy. So basically, for the first half an hour of the night, all we heard in our heads was just, it was just bad.
Yeah.
It was just, we heard, it was this old heifer just sticking around talking about she wanted Earth, Wind, and Fire. It just wasn't a good look. And then we did that, and then they started, once the music got going, it was good, and then Sid was thrown up on the turntables, and me and Monk started taking bets to see how Sid was going to do on the first mix, starting cold, and
It didn't turn out good.
There was dead air for about 4 seconds. So
yeah. You know what it is? It's that program. It's that thing that he uses. You know, I'm just not used to it. It's not like it's, you know, I'm sitting at home and even in downstairs in the studio and stuff like that doing the mix. But you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's all good. So you know, either way, we hung out. We were there for most of the night. They did play a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what else. The DJs weren't mad. None of them were mad because they got free drinks all night. Big up Memphis Barbecue.
That's a good one.
I didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we kept asking you.
What else? And I definitely have to say, and I said this before, but I'm going to say it very clear right now.
Yeah.
And I say this with utmost respect and love to all the conglomerate DJs. I have unrighteously poked fun at Sid for some of his dating choices throughout the years. All right, some people. I've done it very on this show. I've done it tongue in cheek. I've done it.
Our producer is not innocent in this deal either.
No, but you know what I mean. I've done it tongue in cheek and just to have fun. Okay.
Right.
This is coming from the same man who performed in front of, and this is coming from the same dude who openly admitted I performed in front of sixth graders, a dirty rap song.
Yeah.
The same person who has admitted to weird sexual things on this show.
Yeah.
And other embarrassing things. So I do got to say, I got to throw the people under the bus. Much love to the other two conglomerate DJs who are men of color. And for the record, we had to be the only guys of color up in the spot.
That's true.
I play this for them.
Hey, where are the white women at?
That's all I want to say. There was some serious Mandingo fetishes popping off.
Wow. Well, you know, it's kind of odd because, you know, I don't think it's odd. Will's been with his wife for about, say, 95 on and off. You know, he had the chance to marry her. He took the opportunity, seized the bull by the horns, and did it. And his wife was there, you know.
Yeah. But who knew? I didn't know it went that deep. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. You know, I wish I could just say something about it, but yeah, man. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, I teased you about it in the middle of the night, too, didn't I?
Oh, I was the one starting up. Hell, I even talked to Will about it because there was some girl up in the spot dressed up like this, like a brunette version of the Swiss Miss girl.
Oh, with the dress, that's right.
Yeah, who was whiter than white and straight up definitely looking for hot cocoa.
No comment.
Yeah.
No comment, man.
So that's what it was. We were there live. Anybody who showed up, good looking out. Anybody who didn't, you missed out. And we tried to do a radio show. We tried to record a show. It didn't pop off. We're not giving up on it yet, but we don't know when it's going to happen again. So it is.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I actually could give you a date, but I'll do that behind the scenes because I just got, I got word today about another show.
All right. So we won't go into that right
now.
No,
I'm not going to finish it until everything's in order.
Yeah, we'll share as we move along, as we figure out more info. So, let's see. In the week, this has to be – I got to big up everybody who's feeling the recession. One of the things I noticed – Lord knows I'm feeling the recession. I got to say right now, everybody was talking about the recession at the end of last year, right? I got to say, I think everything's coming home the roost now throughout the summer. Because now now the money's running out of all the places, you know what I mean? Like everything's finally hitting home now.
Yeah.
I just want to big up to everybody for the recession. Don't make it the Great Depression. No, I'm not trying to bite Jay-Z on that. I just gotta give everybody one love, keep your head up. Don't give up. Remember the best things in life are for free. Get some whipped cream, get that freaky bitch, call it a day.
Wow. you want to talk about considering recession, speaking of, you know. You want to talk about Vibe Magazine folding?
We can go into Vibe Magazine.
Yeah.
Also, for the record, one of the things I was going to say, I just wanted to give a quick shout out. I could have went on a bigger spiel of the sound of my recession stuff, but it gets too serious. I don't want to get it too serious. Just, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, man, Thunderbird don't cost that much. Call it a night.
Mad Dog 2020.
Mad Dog 2020. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ow. Yeah, Vibe magazine's folding up. So now for all the hip-hoppers who still buy mags, all you got is Double XL and The Source. The Rolling Stone of hip-hop is what they call themselves. And it just ain't happening. No more money. We got Slaughterhouse yelling about they think they should be on the cover of Double XL.
They're out of their mind.
Hey, man, I co-signed that. Why shouldn't they?
No buzz yet about a major album?
Well, no, they got an album. They got an album due in August.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
No, but they don't want the cover yet. They want the...
Yeah, I forgot about that. Cover got released today.
But see, but I'm just saying, though, like, how... Like, I put it like this. How is a hip-hop supergroup or an underground hip-hop supergroup or how is somebody going to really break through without getting some shine? You know what I mean? Without somebody taking initiative. Nobody does that anymore. You know what I mean?
No, I totally agree with you, but they'd rather put Weezy on the cover because that's going to sell.
Oh, I got something to talk about with Weezy, but I don't even know if we're going to get to it today. Remind me later if we do. But, yeah, just like sort of, I just think, hey, man, I think August swings around. Why not give Slaughterhouse the cover, man? Why not? Give some real working dudes, you know what I mean, a chance. This is my opinion. That's all I'm saying. Oh, by the way, for anybody who cares, Only Built for Cuban Links, Part 2, has been pushed back to September now.
Yeah, September 8th, I want to say.
I don't even know the date. I just know it's September.
Yeah, it's there. I know. I saw it. I'll let you know. And the cover's actually released. It looks the same as one, except purple in the background.
Also, I got to give one love to the people at the Grammys and at the Oscars. And they do the Oscars. They do the video montages. They got a lot of work ahead of them for this year's ceremony.
Oof.
I got to put that out there. They got a whole lot of work for this year's ceremony.
Did you get a chance to see the BET Awards?
Yes, I saw the BET Awards. And you know what? Where is it? BET Awards?
Yeah.
How? Someone told me that Lil Wayne, I didn't watch it all the way through again. Someone told me Lil Wayne closed out the show. Performance.
Yeah.
How are you going to celebrate Michael Jackson?
Actually, no, I don't think it, no, you're, no, that's wrong. It was Jamie Foxx and Neo doing I'll Be There.
All right. So I wouldn't have put Lil Wayne near the end, though. I know he was out there near the end.
He was near the end, yes.
I'm sorry, I would have put him in the middle, not near the end, though, man.
Well, they brought Drake on stage, and then they,
yeah,
then
Drake.
They went right to Wayne, yeah.
Drake, the hottest prospect right now.
Jimmy.
And yeah, man. I didn't even know that. Drake, to me, is a new dude. Like, I've heard his name here or there over the past year, but it wasn't enough to warrant me checking him out. Like, I didn't hear anything enough for me to be like, oh, let me check him out. It's one of those deals where I had heard the song before. I knew the artist and knew who he was and all this drama. And, I mean, and I'm hearing, maybe obviously you know more than I do.
Yeah.
Apparently... The internet's sick right now with it, where some are co-signing the dude something serious. Like, they're saying, like, the dude's nice, the dude can rhyme, the dude can sing, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then I'm also hearing other people that are saying that he's adding to the bullshit that's already out there.
He's getting a lot of buzz here in New York. I mean, a lot.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it's 50 Cent buzz, but because that's two totally different things. You know what I mean? Because 50 buzz is ridiculous, because he didn't actually have anybody promoting him. He did it himself.
Yes, he did. Here, so, this, I'll play a sample in the background. Go ahead. Don't worry about it. Keep going.
Yeah, I mean, that's just... better.
I mean, he's new to me. He's completely new to me. I heard this song playing in the background months ago, but I didn't know who it was. I didn't know who the dude from Degrassi.
The dude from Degrassi. He doesn't even represent anywhere in the United States. That's the worst part about it.
He's Canadian.
He's Canadian. Yeah, he's from Toronto. So he's making Cardinal Official look dope right now. and Pop knows that Cardinal is one of the most slept on the scene.
Oh, Cardinal Official is sick. Hopefully in another week or so, if I remember, I got a freestyle with him and Buckshot just going off. It's Buckshot from Black Moon, something serious.
Yeah, but Drake's getting a lot of buzz between himself, that whole Young Money clique with Every Girl.
Yeah.
Joint with Trey Songz. I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but yeah.
I don't even know. He's
successful.
He's got a joint coming out. He's on Mary J. Blige's new song.
Yeah. And
apparently he's on Jay-Z's album.
Yeah, he's going to be on Blueprint 3, apparently. So. And then 50 kind of fired back and says, listen, why isn't, you know, Jay actually putting out his own artists? You know what I mean? He doesn't really jump out records with his own artists. Why is he jumping on Drake?
Man, I got love for Jay-Z, but he's not. Dame Dash, I think, was the one that kept. Actually, I don't even think. I would dare say straight up, yo, I hate, and I don't care if anybody says it's hating, man. I ain't even trying to play both sides of the fence anymore. Fuck that.
Okay.
Straight up, because I realized we did start playing both sides of the fence halfway through the show. This got halfway through this past year, almost a year. We started out hating, and then we kind of started being like, well, you know. Kind of looked at the bright side, you know, glass half full type of deal. No, fuck that, man. Jay straight up, yo, Dame Dash is the one that held Rockefeller together. End of story.
Yeah, but I think he kind of overstepped his bounds when he just started throwing people without Jay's approval.
True.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was three members that made Rockefeller. Three guys,
yeah.
Jay-Z, Dame Dash, and Kareem Biggs.
Biggs, who was
the silent, more like the silent partner. And how are you going to sign M.O.P.? What happened to them? You know what I mean? Hi, Nori. Bye.
Right.
True Life. See ya.
I think Cam was like the straw that broke the camel's back right there.
Cam, they had their own movement going. That's the only reason why they were able to really break away from that. You know what I mean?
Right.
They came in with their own movement popping off. So.
Now, if it's a good movement, that's a totally different topic, but it was a movement.
Oh, man. It was a moment. It was at the time.
You're right. Chipmunk music.
Oh, speaking of people getting heated, I do want to just touch on something. It's pretty much a dead issue now. The whole thing with, I wanted to mention real beef, right? Like people having real beef with people.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because, what was it? I'm sorry. I'm losing my train of thought. Perez Hilton getting lumped up by the Black Eyed Peas manager.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if anybody heard about it. Perez Hilton is a blogger and a gossip site and talks a lot of shit. Runs his fucking mouth a lot. All right?
Absolutely.
And it came down to the point, this is for those that don't know, it came down to a point where he got up in Black Eyed Peas' face, specifically Will.i.am and Fergie. Right, face to face, and it got nasty. It got real nasty, but it didn't get physical. But I guess Perez felt like he couldn't get touched. So when Perez, after getting the last word in, tried to step away, Will.i.am's manager rolled up on him and just decked him straight up in the eye. Just blasted him. And Perez went ahead, is still screaming, you can't do that, you can't do that, it's illegal, you can't do that, you can't do that. You can't do that, who does that, you know what I mean? I don't know about everybody else, but everybody I've ever grown up with, everybody I've ever known, you talk shit, you talk that much shit about somebody, and then
you
try to approach them, you got to be prepared to back the fuck up.
Yeah. And I think he kind of uses that whole, what was me, you know, I can say whatever I want because I am so forth and so forth. I'm not going to even get into it. And people give him a pass because of it. Well, this dude took their initiative and didn't give him a pass.
And then the best part is, you know, certain people, again, I got to talk everything here, internet-based. A lot of people didn't think like, oh, Black Eyed Peas, how could they do that? How could they do that? Let me remind everybody, Sid knows this. Black Eyed Peas were originally signed to Ruthless Records.
Right.
All right, Eazy-E. All right, the guys have talent, but the guys still come. As much as they cater to the mainstream now, their pedigree is deep. People, this is for all the youngins. And please, fill in any blanks that I miss, man. Beef between 88 and 94 blew up in one of two ways. All right, this is how you knew there was beef and it was real and how it's going to pop off, how you don't underestimate nobody. Your ass could be thrown off of a stage. You can get rolled on while you're performing and get thrown off.
Yeah, right. Ask PM Dunn about that.
Or in the same note, you can get rolled on privately and get lumped up. All right? There is countless stories about Rex, Mr. Rump Shakers, Rex in Effect, doing that. There is countless stories about the Native Tongues crew, and we're talking about De La Soul and Tribe Called Quest. As much as those brothers didn't seem like they got down for theirs, you could not physically fuck with them because they weren't scared to fight. They didn't preach it, but they weren't going to run from nobody.
Well, people do forget, you know.
A lot of people forget.
Conscious message, they are four brothers from Queens, you know. So
they weren't scared to get, they were not scared to get busy, you know what I mean? And maybe nowadays people just get desensitized or forget because of the YouTube shit, you know, calling out each other in YouTube videos, on a mixtape, all this stuff. It's like, oh, you ain't going to, you know, everybody could talk shit and not... and are scared to get touched. Yo, if we talk shit, yo, I'm going to talk shit, but I'm going to back it up on the same note. I would like to think when we talk shit, we don't talk shit recklessly. We tell you straight up, this is why we feel this way. And this is the reasons why. You know?
Yeah, I'm going to start talking reckless next show.
Man, I haven't even started talking wrestlers. I'm still, like, kind of tired, so.
No, you threw happy family members onto the bus last October, my friend.
Oh, I still...
I'll say,
straight up, one love to my cousin, Shotgun Wedding, whoop whoop, you know what I'm saying? I just got to give one love, going out to Vegas, handle their business, like the way you're supposed to.
Oh, man. I'm just saying, I mean, we got to really start throwing people under the bus now. It's 2009, my friend.
Dude, I'm going to keep it 100. I read something before, because pretty soon we got to get our guest on and shit, but... there was something else talking about beef. If we want to talk about beef, I read something today in XXL, all right, talking about Biggie, right?
Yeah.
Talking about how at the time, and we grew up in it, and this had me thinking, so I'm going to put this out there for people to discuss, you know what I'm saying? Let me know your opinion. Biggie had a lot of beef.
Sure did.
He had a lot of beef when he was alive, and... even though, like, the Source magazine and shit called him the King of New York, and we all thought, you know, he had his fans, you know what I mean? Nobody really put him up there on that mountain until he had passed.
Well...
like, we all knew he was one of... we all were already putting him up there as one of the big dogs on the East Coast. You know what I mean? One of the East Coast kings. He was already getting there. But he was not the top dog. You know what I mean? His verses were not revered like they are now. You know what I mean? And he had a lot of beef with a lot of dudes. Like, if you really think about it, he had Raekwon had a problem with him.
Well, that's only because of the whole Nas thing.
Yeah, but that's what I was about to say. Nas had a problem with him.
Like a domino effect.
Boot Camp Click had a problem with him.
Right. J-Ru.
You know what I mean? J-Ru had a problem with him. You know what I mean? Like, all these dudes had a problem with him, and a lot of it was also because they were saying that, you know, he was talking about all the expensive things in life. You know what I mean? That he was contributing to more of the negative aspects.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And the thing with XXL is, you know what, and I know this is going to be sacrilege, but it does make you think. It really does make you think, all right? So let's look at this with an open mind. Then you can continue hating the person. They said... like it or not, Lil Wayne's on that mountaintop right now. Okay? Like it or not, he is. Whether or not you agree with it, whether or not you think he sucks, is deserving, or what have you. And there's a lot of hate coming his way, and the thing I read on XXL was saying, well, don't forget that Biggie kinda had it the same way. Biggie had his fans, but then Biggie had a lot of naysayers, and a lot of the naysayers told you straight up why. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
I'm not even touching the Wayne thing.
I mean, I put it like this: let's remove all the rock and roll crap that Wayne's been trying to push on everybody lately. All right, let's get away with it. Let's stick with mixtape Lil Wayne. All right, dude, who basically has worked his way. It's his mixtape work that's worked him up to the level he's at now. All right, that's allowed him to be, and that's allowed him to fuck up now, in my opinion.
Because I've been on the show and said, I liked the mixtape Lil Wayne from like 05, 06. You know what I mean? I just don't like the shit he's been doing the last couple of years, because now it feels like he's falling back. He's resting on his laurels. Yes, I said laurels, you assholes.
What would you rather have, mixtape Wayne or mixtape 50?
You know what, though? I can't even speak on that, because mixtape 50 was more of a hardcore artist, still is. Like, when 50 goes in on the mixtapes, he really goes hardcore with it.
Oh, can I just say War Angel's very good?
Wait, what was that?
War Angel, the mixtape. It's actually pretty good.
Clap your hands, everybody, and everybody clap your hands. It's DJ Sid, pick of the week. Now listen to the man. Ah! There you go, people. Free download. Free download at thisis50.com. 50 Cent War Angel mixtape. It's a free download, all new 50 music. That's what Sid's talking about.
Wow.
You know what, though? I'm going to get hated on by my own peoples. I will straight up say, mixtape Lil Wayne at his peak, though, was more punchline oriented, while 50 was more of a hardcore artist. You know what I mean? So I'll give him, you know, I feel Wayne deserves credit in that department. You know what I'm saying? Like, I will say, all right, that's fine. That whole Lick Me Like a Lollipop shit's got to go. You know what I mean? Everything post Carter 3, like around the Carter 3 and to now, I'm not feeling this nothing. Even the stuff he's releasing on the mixtape circuit, it feels like he's got to that peak, and now he's falling back, and it's affecting everything else.
DJs.
Yeah, I can't even go on. That's right, another topic.
We'll drop that.
Yeah,
topic.
But either way, that's the thing I wanted to bring up. It's like Double XL bringing up how Biggie got a lot of hate, you know, got criticized a lot. You know, if you were a fan of his, you probably didn't see it that much. But if you were against it, you noticed it. You know what I mean? And how whatchamacallit, Lil Wayne could technically be going through something similar. You know what I'm saying? Like, if Lil Wayne were to die, there's a good chance the dude could become a martyr, or whatever. I can't.
Martyr.
Thank you, martyr.
No, you're tongue-tied. It's late. I know.
Man, it's not even that late, man.
I know what you meant. I know what you're going at.
Anyway, man, you know what? It's time to put... That's right. It's that time. We're going to put you, our listeners, on hold.
Oh, yeah.
You got to love the fact... You got to love having a show where you put the listeners in timeout. How crazy is that, man?
This is exactly the part where we'd air a promo.
Yeah, we ain't got the promos yet, so what are you going to do?
No, I know. It's going to happen soon.
Okay, so,
well, I got to do one for the international version. But I did catch your DJ C, Mr. C, MJ tribute mix, by the way.
Ah, yes. Well, hey, we'll talk about the lyrics. I just got
a
heads up. I'm already getting, our guest is getting impatient. So,
all right,
everybody. So, you know what? All right, the music shut off abruptly. Holy shit. Okay, everybody. I don't know where it's going to go from this point forward, but I just want to welcome back a personal friend of mine. Am I using your working name, or am I using your legit? Are we going?
My working name, damn it. Kate, second.
Thank you very much. For those that for over
protect the business at all costs.
Yeah.
All right, the one and only... He's back, bitches. Eric Adams. Give him some love.
Thank you. Thank you. And congratulations on this new live format you're getting ready to go on to. I can't wait for it live in front of a studio audience.
Oh, my God. You didn't hear. You did not. It fell apart gloriously.
How the fuck did it fall apart? What happened?
It was last Friday. And
what happened?
Okay, in a nutshell, because we went through it, but I'll give you the crash, the abridged version.
Giggity.
We were supposed to be there at 9. The gig was starting at 10. We were supposed to be there at 9 to start the recording. And basically, I showed up at 9:30. The DJs that were supposed to work the gig didn't show up till 10 o'clock on a dot. So
wow.
We were running behind all kinds of ways, so it did not happen. The audience, our initial audience, as soon as we walked into the club, wound up being a table full of drunk cougars. It was a bad start.
Fantastic. Drunk cougars and late DJs and late hosts.
Oh, and we were the
you guys
only,
are awesome.
We were the only people of color in the place also.
Fantastic. All hey, right. White women love Puerto Rican men, and what are you?
Oh, we ironically... that you mentioned that, Eric, because as soon as Pop walked in, the Cougar's words were, oh, you're the 6'9" Puerto Rican.
I had never been there before, man. I never was there before, and as soon as I walk in, she comes in just like, I heard there was a 6-foot-something Puerto Rican. I guess you're him, huh? I'm like, dude,
wow.
I wasn't even in the place for more than like 5 seconds.
Well, thank God the 5'1" Puerto Rican wasn't with you to, like, kill all of them.
Oh,
man. It would have been entertaining to me.
And I put it this, out of all of us, I'm the Puerto Rican, and I'm the tallest one there, and then Sid is a straight-up mulatto, and fucking the other two DJs are black. So it was just like, yeah, we got to play our cards right here, or we are so hearing a banjo at the end of the fucking night.
Yeah. Funny story, a lot of people don't know. Whippoorwip's wife here, Pablo, Whippoorwip's wife, is the inventor of the double stomp. She used it in, what city was that, New Jersey? She used it on Tony Atlas.
You're an asshole.
She invented the double stomp. She invented the move.
It was a single foot stomp, goddammit, and she had the picture up to prove it.
Yes, she does. It was awesome. Okay, you guys have to excuse me if I'm not my normal hyper-hatred self.
I was going to
North Carolina.
That's right.
The last time we were on this show.
Yeah, and you are medicated, if I'm correct.
Yes, I was bit by a black widow spider while in my sleep, and I waited about 4 days to go to the hospital. And when I got there, the doctor's like, hey, guess what? You shouldn't be alive. You were poisoned and venomed by a black widow spider. So now I'm on 4 different types of antibiotics and a painkiller. Yes, thank you very much. And it's just been one of those glorious moments in life. But big ups to Presbyterian Hospital for having some hot nurses who don't understand how see-through those white scrubs are. Amazing. Amazing. But
very nice.
Anyway, the reason I'm on here is because I'm plugging an event that I'm going to still be doing even though I'm mercilessly, like, disenfranchised, or whatever the word I'm looking for is right now. I don't know. I can't read.
No, that's fine.
And, I don't know. I've been watching Dog the Bounty Hunter, so I just use big words he tries to use.
Awesome.
And, yes, I love that show. I love it. You know what's my favorite part about that show? Because then Dog asked the question, bro, why are you running, man? I don't know. Maybe it's because you're wearing all leather, and you look like a gay pro wrestler in all leather with a braided mullet. I don't know if you're going to fuck me in the ass or try and fucking arrest me.
You smell the fucking Aquanet like a mile away.
It's always
more awkward than him or a pipe.
You know, that's a good question.
He does.
Here's
his hair stands up.
Yeah, his does stand up, but here's the other problem with that statement. I'm pretty sure Beth is wearing a weave. From especially my new times here in Charlotte, North Carolina. I live in the hood. In fact, I live right next to a nightclub called the Excelsior that's been open since 1934.
Nice.
First ever. Now, here's where it gets interesting. It's after slavery, but during segregation, this was a coloreds-only club.
Is it still a coloreds-only club?
I would say this. I have not attempted to go in and buy a beer yet.
Oh.
It's right up the block for me, and I have not attempted, and I'm Puerto Rican, and I'm looked at as the white guy in the neighborhood.
That's what I'm saying, man.
But I did get to go. But I did find a little ways away from me a liquor house where I was able to buy a piece of fish, fried fish, and two beers. And it was glorious. But the reason for me to be on here tonight is, yes, it's the little things that matter. Fried fish and Heineken make a make Jose something something. And so what happens is this. July the 11th, the North American Grappling Association tournament is coming here to Charlotte, North Carolina, or as it's known as NACA.
Hey-o.
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 NACA.
By the way, before at the NACA tournament, I am going to be participating. And I think if your listeners in Charlotte are going to be there, you should come out and see me.
Nice.
And afterwards, we're going to the McDonald's right down the road for a celebration because they will be releasing their new hamburger in tribute to Michael Jackson.
Hey-o.
It's called the McJackson. No, seriously, it's a 50-year-old piece of meat in between two four-year-old buns.
Oh, my God.
So, Farrah Fawcett died the day before, right? God bless your soul. I got the whole story on that.
Okay.
And so when she died, she got up to the pearly gates, and St. Peter said, oh, Farrah, please, come right in. So she has her meeting with God, and God says, Farrah, you're an outstanding woman. You've brought cheer to the lives of men for many years. You've shown people the right way to live in life. You've done stuff for children's charities. I'm going to grant you whatever you wish you want. Now, the only wish I can't grant is to bring you back to life. She said, that's fine. I don't want that. I'm not selfish. I'm in heaven. I'm happy. She says, I just have one wish, God. Just keep the children of the world safe. God says, make it so. 24 hours, look what happens.
Wah, wah, wah.
I'm sorry. It's just facts. It's facts, all right? I loved Michael. I loved Michael. My first ever CD I bought when CDs first came out, and I could afford one, was when Dangerous came out. That double disc.
Yeah.
No, that was the best.
No, history. History was a double disc.
Yeah, history. Yeah,
all right.
I owned that.
As is pronounced on the album, His Story.
His Story. Yes. Okay. You know, and it's really weird with this whole Michael Jackson thing. I mean, it's just weird to know he's gone. Because say whatever you want, he was a hell of a performer, and I feel real sorry for the family. I feel sorry for every one of them. I really do.
So
no jokes there.
Now, just to fill in, I feel like this. Everybody who grew up in the 80s, like, let's say 90, anybody 70s, grew up,
80s.
80s and before, like everything up to the 80s, to the late 80s, all right, was invested in Michael to some degree, okay?
Well,
basically,
everybody was still invested in Michael until about, like, 93, bro.
That's what I was going to say. Around 94 is when I would dare say the separation occurred. When all the child stuff happened, it's when nobody gave a fuck about Michael. That's where the sentiment became, I still fuck, I fuck with off the wall Michael. I don't fuck with blood on the wall Michael.
Oh, I agree.
Blood
wow.
on the dance floor Michael. I don't fuck with blood on the dance floor Michael. I fuck with off the wall Michael. That was the sentiment pre-death.
Yeah, but I mean, you really got to look at that whole thing. I mean, it's real fishy. I mean, he got to rehearsal at 10 o'clock. You know, everything was fine. He did that. He got home. You know, he got ready for bedtime, which is, of course, when the big hand touches the little hand. You know, and then the next day, you know, look what happens.
Yeah,
weird.
I mean, no, I hate to say it if we're going to talk seriously about it. We're going to be hearing so many, in my opinion, we're going to be hearing so many conflicting reports about what he did, what he didn't do, what he asked for, what he was. Because right now, put it like this. As soon as he died, how many rumors have come out that have had to be dispelled? You know what I mean?
Think about it like this, too. And obviously, you know, Eric probably knows this from his time over in Tennessee as well. You know, people still think about Elvis when he passed, and they think about him dying a great, glorious death. But people forget that he died on the toilet.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, or like Mama Cass, who died choking on a ham sandwich.
Yeah, that's
not a myth. That's fact.
That's fact.
You know what I mean? I mean, look at La Paquita and Expectrito from Mexico, who just died today. Well, they died last night. Did you hear about this one?
No.
Ah, check it out. They apparently took two hookers back
to
a
hotel room. I did hear this.
Oh, you got to share. You got to share with everybody. They were start with two hookers. You got to go in.
Yeah, and so they took these two hookers back, and apparently they were part of, like, one of these heavy-duty gangs in Mexico, and they drugged their drinks and stole all their money, and they overdosed them and killed them.
Oh, shit.
And, you know, so that's what happened there. To me, my favorite hooker story will still be the ShamWow story. I mean, the guy from ShamWow hires a hooker in Florida. You know, he's nice and happy. He's like, ShamWow. You'll say wow all the time. You know, he's like, all right, so now we're going to have sex because we can't do this all night, you know. And the next thing you know, hooker bites his tongue off.
Yeah.
Wow. And it, you know, yeah, that's exactly what happened. It bit his tongue off. It was awesome. And then there's pictures of him. And he didn't even use his own fucking product to clean his face. His face is all bloody and shit. Like, that's the worst commercial for it, like, ever.
Oh,
it's like,
be...
wow, so it'll soak up soda and everything, but it doesn't take care of blood,
right.
I see.
Oh, that,
that is awesome impression of Vince from ShamWow, my dad.
Yeah.
It looks like he won, too, apparently. He won.
Now, he won. He really did. Now, but here's the interesting thing. Have you ever seen the ShamWow commercials on Telemundo where he's talking in Spanish?
No.
Yes, I actually have.
Yes, exactly. You see, my mom watches all these Spanish soap operas, and, you know, like every other Puerto Rican woman, she has to have the TV turned up to 9 million.
Yeah,
so, out of nowhere, you know, one minute you hear, Guadalupe, and then the next thing you know, it's, hold on a sec. ShamWow, aquí. That's what you hear. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's one of my favorite things in the whole wide world. Oh, bullshit. What do you know about Guadalupe?
I know. You know what? I haven't checked out any Spanish broadcasting in years. Every now and then I'll flip through it.
No,
but you know what?
Guadalupe is from when I was a kid.
But no, that's what I'm saying. Like, if it's the older shit, I remember, like, there was a show called Christina. There was there was another show with a fucking transvestite Muppet or looked like a transvestite. It was,
Esmeralda?
Yeah. Que mucho de Esmeralda. Yeah. It was fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. Everybody remembers Esmeralda. You see, to grow up a Puerto Rican, you learn all these people. My favorite thing is, as a kid, this is how fucked up I was. I could not go to bed. If you remember, in the middle of programming late at night on Telemundo, they would have, like, this cartoon of a dog right before bedtime, when it was supposedly kids' bedtime, which was like 9:30 at night, you know, and I'm 4 years old at the time. And they'd have this, like, little animated dog who would come running into the house, singing in Spanish, brushing his teeth, putting on a nightcap, and getting in bed. If I didn't see that, I wasn't sleeping. And that was the start of my beautiful case of insomnia, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
what can
God.
I say?
Damn is good.
So you're not watching this
show? Yes. By the way, Whip, I really have to say to you, I got to see the new pictures online of your barbecue. Bro, your kids are growing up beautiful, man, really.
Thank
gorgeous,
you,
absolutely gorgeous. They obviously got the looks from your wife, you know.
To the pledge, Eric. Damn it.
to quote Rodney Dangerfield, great, late great Rodney. Hey, yeah. What can I say? I got some good looking kids. Thank God my wife cheats on me.
You know what I'll never forget? The one time Whip came into the gym with a shaved goatee. You got to see Pablo here when he shaved his goatee for like 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And
I can't do it. I can't do it.
Yeah, you can't. Because the minute he did, you saw these giant protruding lips just like staring right at you. It was like, what's his name? You know that... the inspirational speaker guy, that tall 6'7" guy with the giant teeth?
Tony Robbins?
Tony whatever. Yeah, it's like him. It's like that. It's like Tony Robbins' teeth, and Whip was supposed to give Tony his lips, but Whip won the lips like in a settlement. He refused to get rid of them. It was awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
We had to take a long trip for that one, but we got there.
Well, I'm fucked up right now. You have to excuse me. I'm not allowed to drink. I'm not allowed to drink any alcohol, and all I can do is drink water, or else my peep is going to get an infection, and that's not good.
Oh, no. What's the next? Are you planning on coming back to New York anytime soon, Eric?
The game plan is I want to come back to go see a Met game, but first I got to go down to Tampa, Florida. No, not to go to Deep South or anything great like that. I got to go down to Tampa because I want to go visit a good friend of mine. And hang out over there for a moment in history. And then after that, I'm definitely planning a trip to New York. And I wanted to talk to you about this, Sid, because Bob was a freaking tourist, and he's a Yankee fan.
I'm not.
Get us some good seats.
Yeah, you're a Yankee fan. I am not a Yankee fan.
You're a Mets fan?
I'm more for the Mets. You know what it is? I've addressed this before. I'm the scumbag that neither side likes because I'm, quote-unquote, and I say this with a wink and a nod, I'm a New York fan, but I root for the Mets because the Mets are the underdogs historically. And I root,
root for the Mets because you're Puerto Rican like me. Like, the team is your cousin.
Hey, I've also said on this goddamn show and in personal life, I said all we need to do is open a bodega in right field. We got the whole – who's left on the team that's white? David Wright.
David Wright and J.J. Putz.
Ryan Church?
Like one other guy. Frank Church and Wagner, that's it.
You already know in the old bleachers, they had the big cast of pots already back there with the goddamn rice, the big owl and all that shit.
Yeah, they definitely had that. You see, but here's the beauty of it. Interesting story. Richie Tyler's dad, because if you ever been to shit to Citi Field, Richie Tyler's dad Orlando. Now, Richie Tyler's dad grew up right there by Shea Stadium, and it's a big belief Richie Tyler's dad helped open up all those Spanish bars right there where you see, like, Jose Reyes and all them all hanging out at. And it's a beautiful thing when you go to Shea Stadium because now there's a rule. As soon as you check in, it's a family reunion. No matter what seating arrangement you're in, you wind up in a family room. You're either going to have cops from the 114 where you're going to have, like, every Puerto Rican ever. Pablo, I guarantee you, like, your cousin's, like, right center field, and, like, my nephew's, like, bat boy.
I don't deny it, man, because half of my family...
Think about this.
If they don't go to the Mets game, half of them live down the block from the fucking minor league team over in Coney Island. So I lose or win either way.
Yeah, but here's the beauty of it. If you guys watched the World Series of Baseball thing that they had this year, where they have all teams from, like, Cuba and the Dominican Republic. The funny thing was... Seven of the starters from the Puerto Rico team were fucking Mets. That's not a made-up number. Seven of them were Mets.
Yeah.
It was great. It reminds me of my favorite joke from Beer League. Ralph Macchio's getting off the phone, and his wife's like, you know what? I was going to get you a Derek Jeter cake to be the husband on top of the wedding cake, but now, no. Fuck you. I'm going to get one of them Puerto Ricans from the fucking Mets.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to tell you my favorite story. So, as we all know, Richie Tyler now has his own apartment, and he lives in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. Well, he lives in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. Just look for a short little midget in a silver Dodge Neon, and if you see it, spit on it. So, Richie Tyler invited a girl from New Jersey to come over to have sexual relations with. So, apparently, during these sexual relations... No, here's the beauty of it. Apparently, during these sexual relations, this woman pissed all over his bed.
Oh, no, that's terrible.
It did not squirt. She peed on the bed. It was a bright color of yellow, and Richie was still trying to say it was...
Oh, no.
So Richie Tyler sleeps in New Jersey pee. Remember that, folks. Yes, that's New Jersey piss head, Richie Tyler. Remember that at all times.
Oh, my God.
Oh, another reason.
Remember.
I'm sorry for our fans in Jersey, but there's another reason to not like New Jersey.
I feel really
bad.
Hey,
fuck you, Jersey. Fuck you, Jersey. You're the shit. You fucking big-haired fucking son of a bitches. The only thing you did good was give us Bruce Springsteen, and now he sucks. He's fucking slamming his nuts fucking hardcore at the Super Bowl right into the camera.
Oh,
I didn't know
God.
I could see up a miniature reefer that easy.
Only Eric Adams could come on the goddamn radio, or on, not radio, our piece of shit show, tear down a mutual wrestler. Let me fill in some people. A mutual wrestling friend of ours.
My brother.
Okay? He can tear him down and completely air him out the last time he was here, and then come back on the same show and embarrass him again, yet defend him against New Jersey whores.
Yes.
You
gotta
love...
Listen to me. Eric Adams stands for this.
Go ahead.
Friends don't let friends sleep with New Jersey whores. I'm Eric Adams, and I approve this message.
Wow. And that's one to grow on.
You know, speaking of sleeping
really
in a spot before, no. I can't even tell you that story. That one, we're going to have to take for a post-game show someday.
Yeah. Seriously, we might have to. By the way, I'm so pissed off at this one wrestler I know.
Go in. I've been pissed off at so many people right now lately.
Yeah.
There's a big reason why I'm not doing it.
Yeah. There's a guy who wrestles known as Hussein the Insane Arab. Now, here's the thing. For so many people who don't know, that used to be the Iron Sheik's name back in the 70s when he wrestled for Vince McMahon Sr. and the WWWF.com. And so... this guy's going around saying, I'm like, guy, you can't do that. And then the next thing I realized, this guy's not even Arab. So I want to say, fuck you, you fucking asshole. You know, if you were in Iran right now, that Ahmadinejad, he'd drag you to the fucking middle of fucking town square and hang you by the balls. You fucking asshole. Find your own original shit.
That's
Is he going to break his back and make him humble?
Humble.
I
humbled him.
You are fucking sad.
That
pisses me off. That pisses me off. Independent wrestling really pisses me off still, because here's the beauty of it. There are so many fucking assholes in this wrestling business who really don't deserve to be in it. You know why? Because they fucking are willing to work for $10.
If that's if they don't. Well, hold on, let's be fair. That's if they don't try to undercut you completely and offer to work for free just to get the spot.
Yeah, exactly. And then you know what happens to guys like us? Like, Whip, you remember fucking back in the days of indies when, like, you could easily clear, like, $1.50?
Yeah.
To go, like, down the block?
Yeah.
You go down the block, you wrestle, like, Julio or Adolfo or Angel, and then you go home and you have $150 and everybody's happy. But no, these new breed of fucking assholes are willing to work for $10 and free. So now I have to drink fucking cheap ass Steel Reserve after a show because they're $1.22 a can. They have the hot shit down here. They have Steel Reserve Black, which has 8.3 alcohol volume.
I thought they stopped selling it.
They got Steel Reserve Black. There's a whole movement in the independent scene. There's a tag. There's the whole Steel Reserve Army. It's me, the Now, Tony Lucchesio, Travis Sawyer, the local 211 Army. That's right. We drink Steel Reserve after our shows. Before the show,
Steel Reserve.
Drink nothing. But afterwards, God damn it, Steel Reserve. It's the best shit to ever come out of an aluminum can.
The strongest shit. It knock you on your ass like a motherfucker.
Exactly. Because Ken Patera hates fucking Coors Light. Ken Patera calls it Rocky Mountain Goat Piss.
Nice. Very nice. All right, before we run out, wait, do you want to say again, you're going to be where next Saturday? I can't pronounce it. Naga.
July 11th at the Naga Tournament, North American Grappling Association Tournament here in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Woo.
Come support me, motherfuckers.
Yeah, you got to
support. We're
going to
have fun.
I've always give the devil his due, even though he's been a pain in my ass at times when we were younger. Eric can wrestle his ass off.
Woo!
Eric can wrestle his ass off.
This is a shoot tournament.
Then I'll even be more fair. I always give you the credit that when it came time to put in the work, your work ethic, when it came time to learn something and really excel at it, was extremely good.
Thank you.
Just the younger you were and the more you drank, the less you wanted to hang around with you after the match. But other than that...
But you got to remember, I was...
Go.
I was 14 years old, damn it. I was 14 years old.
Alcohol
was a hell of a thing, and Johnny Rods would make us...
Hell, I'm still
Johnny
talking
Rods
to you, son of a bitch. Hell, I'm still talking to you.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You're one of the few guys I still talk to. Shit.
Thank you, yes. And one more thing. Ladies and gentlemen, Sal Valentino is very much open to casual encounters on Facebook, so become his friend, especially if you're hot.
Yes,
oh,
man. He is a pretty-ass bitch.
Are you really going to plug that on Facebook now?
Yes, I am.
Our boy
no,
Sal,
he actually put that up. That's what he puts up as his status yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Hey, are we going into overtime?
Yeah, we're going into a little overtime. Why not? Fuck it.
Cool, because if we go into overtime, I got a good story for everybody. I'm saving this for the overtime. It involves hookers and midgets.
Hold that. Eric, hold that thought for a second. PABodegaRadio@yahoo.com. Paz, we'll see you next week. I'll be around next week. sorry about the live show. We stink. We'll get to it at some other time.
Charlie
of England, we love you.
That's right. Big up to England.
I couldn't get the UK show popping. That's what happened. Oh, go figure.
No, the UK show's awesome.
No, it's awesome.
I love the UK.
Yeah, I love the UK too.
That's right. Manchester, you.
All right, let's do this official. Let's do this official.
Post-game show is brought to you by... Christ, I can't find it. What the hell is it?
All right, post-game show. It's sitting here. The PAB is in one spot. Big Deuce is somewhere fiddling with himself. And we're joined by the one, the only... we're so glad to have you on again. The one from...
Thank you, Sid.
North Kakalaki. Mr. Eric Adams.
Why do I see Eric just like waving around a T-shirt that says Jack Daniels T-shirt in the air in a circle?
I think you're gonna play it.
Actually, I'm sitting. Go ahead.
No, you're sitting where?
Actually, I'm sitting on my couch, and that show about the guy with the tour bus who's got tattoos is going. And I'm sitting nice and cozy, drinking my vitamin water with the Acai blueberry in my nice, comfy SpongeBob SquarePants boxers. It's awesome. See, because I live in the hood, so I have to worry about people trying to come here and break my door in. So I sleep on the couch.
The more they say, the same.
Yes. So, on to the story about alcohol
pro
wrestling.
He's getting wound up.
Go ahead.
Yes, here we go.
The floor is yours.
The floor
so,
is...
just to give you guys... Thank you. I'm glad to know the floor is mine. Now, as some of you know...
There you go.
Okay, thank you. As some of you know, I enjoy every once in a while having the occasional little sip of alcohol. You know, nothing over excessive, only about...
Never
over excessive. Anyway, so after a show, after the last time we spoke, actually, I did my farewell show in Tennessee.
That's
they
right.
booked me. After hearing this radio show, they booked me. So I proceed to do this farewell wrestling show, and after my match... I proceed to end it in great fashion, you know, thus this being a show for, what were they called? It was a show for lepers, let's just say, because I can't figure out what to say. Oh, yeah, it was for a promoter. It was a scumbag. Fuck you, Terry Landell, you whore, you pedophile, you boy fucker, fuck you.
All right.
Your comments are only mine, and it's only mine alone, but Terry Landell fucks little boys when he's not busy getting blown by pigs, and I mean pot-belly pigs.
Wow.
Anyway, getting back to the story. So after the as I'm getting ready to leave the ring, I decided to take my phone and tell everybody how much I love them. So I tell the fans, you were great wrestling fans. Thank you for buying all my T-shirts, my pictures, and everything over the years. They have helped feed me in sushi from Kroger, which I stole, so I didn't spend no money there. But it did help me drink alcohol, which all the bartenders in Knoxville that were feminine were good friends of mine, so it did help me do that. So pretty much, thank you for giving me money for ice cream. So, and I said, and I want to tell you my favorite flavor of ice cream. I told everybody, ladies and gentlemen, my favorite flavor of ice cream is chocolate. Why? Because you bunch of white redneck pieces of trash don't deserve to be in my presence. And I'm moving to the home of the brave, the home of color. The home of everything great, the home of Aquanet hair and weaves. And
Jersey?
An original chicken and ribs that's been established since 1945 that's right up the block from me. If you ever get a chance, go to original chicken and ribs and get their food. It's a little fucking shack that you can tell has been burnt to the ground 6 or 7 times by the hands of white people. White people, stop. I hate you white motherfuckers. I hate all of you. Obama beat your mama.
That's
anyway.
Right. Yo mama. I'm just...
Yo mama.
I'm gonna I'll be your Ed McMahon. Go ahead.
Yeah. And so then I said, I just want to end this with my favorite song in the world. So I had the DJ put it on track two.
Track.
So my last moment in pro wrestling in Tennessee, my farewell song was the great song by Alkaline, Put It In Your Mouth.
Put It In Your Mouth.
Okay.
Hey-o.
Yes. Put It In Your Mouth. So,
Put It In Your Mouth.
Mouth, the old song was put on for them to hear as I walked away.
Put it
anyway,
in your mouth.
Afterwards, the guys thought it was the funniest rib of all times. They didn't know I really meant every word I said. So they took me to a bar to drink. So we are at this little shit shack bar that I can't even remember that. The Pony House.
That's talent, though. I do have to say, though, that's a lot of talent. You work. One of the hardest things to do in the business, something that we all wrestlers try to do at least once in a blue moon, especially when they're comfortable with the guys, is they try to pull one over on the guys. They try to work the guys. You technically unintentionally work the guys.
Yes, I was very proud of myself. So then we're at the Pony House having a few beers, enjoying ourselves, when these two hookers come up to us. The hookers' names, and I will repeat the actual names of these hookers because I couldn't make them up if I tried, were Grapevine and Lila. These girls.
Grapevine and Lila.
Grapevine and Lila.
And Lila.
So Grapevine and Lila.
Grapevine and Lila.
So they come up, and they're like, oh, so you're leaving town without partying with us? As I notice, both of them are missing their teeth. And I say, why no? I would never do that. So they come and sit down. And they sit down next to me. And then all the wrestlers' girlfriends decide that they're going to come down and sit down and listen to me verbally abuse these women while they have no idea what I'm saying. So halfway through the conversation, I get annoyed. And I know I'm at a biker bar and I'm outnumbered. But you people have to understand, good old Uncle Eric decides, you know what, I just don't like the situation I'm in. So when they ask our friend EA about his phallus, he proceeds to pull it out. And in grand fashion, ladies and gentlemen, I pissed all over the table at the bar.
Get that.
So there I am, urinating. Yes, as I'm urinating all over this bar, I decide to say, okay, everybody, good night, I'm leaving. And just so you all remember, and I grab this giant glass of water that's right there. I say, in the famous words of Pat Benatar, load is a battlefield, and I threw water upon everybody. I left 2 days later, I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, and ladies and gentlemen, I have to tell you, it was glorious. I've been back to Knoxville only twice. One time because a buddy of mine, she found out she had a staph infection in her vajayjay. And then the second time was for my MMA fight. Which I won? Did you tell everybody that on the air?
Yes,
Mr.
yes,
Papa?
We did. Yes, I
yes,
did.
Yes.
I went ahead. I promoted the link, and I did congratulate you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I said, fuck Eric Adams. I said, fuck K-Fape. I said, Jose Rodriguez whooped somebody's ass, and that I thought he was punching somebody in the nuts repeatedly until he told me it was in the liver.
It was in the liver. Yes, I won with volatile fucking nut shots. That would have been the greatest finish in MMA history. Did you let everybody know who still hasn't seen the fight to the fact that the guy was about 6'7" and a giant Aryan race man?
No, I did not. I didn't know that until you told me that now.
No, if you look at the video again, you can see he's a lot taller than me.
I knew he was bigger than you, but, I mean, I didn't know he was, like, a lot. Like, in the video, I mean, I wasn't nitpicking it apart. I was actually just trying to watch the fight. So I wasn't, like, doing, like, yeah, he has a 72-inch reach, and, you know, against Jose's 23-inch reach. I'm like, I don't fucking know.
Yes. It may be smaller, but damn it, it's thicker. Okay?
Thank you for sharing that with everybody.
But, yeah. You know what? Here's an interesting story we really have to get into, because I just remembered this, and I always wanted to ask you about this, and what better place than to ask you on the air about this, Pablo?
Go for it.
Do you remember Chunk Kleta, man?
let that marinate. Yes, he said Chunk Kleta, man.
I thought
yes.
I heard that right.
Yes, I do remember Chunk Kleta, man.
Yes, or as Timmy Orson likes to call him, Papi Chocolate, because he didn't understand that chancleta and chocolate were two different words at the time. But now, oh, by the way, congratulations to Tim Orson, who will be a father momentarily within the next couple of months here,
yes,
with his first ever child, a baby boy.
Yeah, Tim
Jesus.
Roberts.
Do you
realize
we have a little?
Go ahead.
We have a little Tim Arson on the way. How scary is that?
Yeah.
Are you talking about the pyromaniac, Tim Arson?
Yes, we're talking about the guy.
Pyromaniac.
ECW zombie. ECW zombie, the pyromaniac from WWC in Puerto Rico. Yes.
And ECW. You have to see the promo to really appreciate that one.
Oh, man.
You really have to see the promo. It's the best thing in the world. But, yeah, he's going to be a daddy. Yaritza is pregnant and gorgeous as always, and Timmy's still Frankenstein. But here's the thing a lot of people don't know. Tim Arson is extremely intelligent. He really is extremely intelligent. And after years of, like, you know, because we would play, like, you know, like, random facts quizzes and stuff like that. So, like, Yadi's a very smart woman, and Timmy's a very smart woman. So we might see, like the greatest evil genius ever created on this planet.
We'll find out, man. Right now, you know what it is? And Sid, I know Sid gets annoyed at this. We're at the point in our lives where everybody's starting to have kids slowly but surely.
Screw you.
So it's watching everybody. Basically, everybody's becoming old men and people you never thought as dads are becoming dads. You know what I mean?
Well, don't worry. You never have to worry about me being a father because I've made a swear.
That's because
that
you are, but
you're
denying them all.
Yes, I am a father and I'm denying them all. Oh, by the way, I ran into First Sergeant Payne on Facebook.
Yeah.
Big ups to Roth, the 4th of July coming up this weekend. First Sergeant Payne, Roth is one of the great men who served our country as a Marine. And after 9/11 happened, here's an interesting story about 9/11 with him. I remember talking to him on the phone. What they were having him do was guard that 9/11 site, Ground Zero. And he would do 6 hours on, 6 hours off, 6 hours on, 6 hours off for approximately 6 days. That's what he was doing with no break. You know, and he's a true American hero. And to you, sir, if I had my Jack Daniels Green Label, which I don't, instead of my vitamin water or Kai Berry, I toast you. You're a great man, a great father, and a smart man because he married a Puerto Rican woman. Cheers.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I saw him. I actually hung out with him about 2 weeks before he actually got married, last time I saw him.
He's on Facebook now.
You want to talk about irony also? And I got to really quick, if anybody wants to know who we're talking about, look on, I'm going to so cheap whore plug myself. YouTube.com/whippoorwhip. Bunch of wrestling matches on there, including a tag team match with yours truly and my partner at the time, this guy GQ, going against First Sergeant Payne and his partner, Shell Shock. That was their name.
Who was actually a former, I think he was in the Army.
Yes, he was legit. And irony, Payne helped with Ground Zero after everything happened.
Yeah.
His partner worked the site hours before the planes went in. He was doing the graveyard shift. And he went, I mean, everybody has their own story. He went home at 6 o'clock that morning to only find out, you know, like, don't come tomorrow, you know. It's fucked up, you know.
Yeah, it really is irony. You know what really pisses me off? You never, ever put the video up, and I know you have it.
What video?
The show we did at, what was that place called? In Pennsylvania, the one that we did two shows there.
Oh, we did two shows in a trailer park out in Shohola Falls.
No, not Shohola Falls where the bear almost got you guys. The other one.
Bear didn't get me. It was everybody else. Bear went after Prince Nana
because
he was black as hell.
Yes. They had Nana go incognito. They had Nana close. They had Nana put some shades on, and they put black tape over his mouth, and he went running in the woods naked to scare off the bear.
Are you talking about Bushkill?
I love you, Nana. You fool! Was it Bushkill? Yeah, that was the place. The Fernwood Resort.
Yes.
The place that we stayed.
Yes.
And
broke-down resort ever.
Yeah, but the second show, when I wrestled the Musketeer, the night before that, when we did the show for the Romanian war criminal. And
I wasn't at that.
Astoria.
I know what show. Basically, there was a fencing match involved, and the Musketeer, who recently performed at an ECW reunion show,
right.
wound up cutting somebody legitimately with the fencing.
Chino Caruso.
He legitimately slashed him.
It was me versus the Musketeer, and the Musketeer legitimately almost took Gino Caruso's eye out. You know, like how they say, don't play with that, you'll put your eye out?
Yep.
almost happened.
There was,
and then what ensued was the greatest match ever to never have a referee, with the fans as the referee for me versus the Musketeer. That was my first match with an actual New York State Athletic Commission license. And I remember, like, the first thought in my head, well, I just lost my license.
Yeah, and just to share, it was a busy weekend. We literally had three wrestling shows. I was supposed to do all three. I could not. The one that Eric's talking about.
What did we do? What three?
There was three that weekend. There was three shows going on that weekend. Yeah, there was three shows going on that weekend.
What did we do Thursday? No, it was Sunday, the Barack shit.
Yeah, there was. That's what I'm saying. There was three shows going on that weekend. I did two. Some of you guys, some of you guys did it.
Bushkill.
Yep.
Pennsylvania. And then back over in Barat at the thing for the people of Nepal who all look alike and sound alike and all smell like onions. Committee.
Yes. And and I didn't do the Queens show. Eric wrestled, like you said. The Musketeer almost took out the ref's eye. So then the ref just left. They didn't send out a replacement ref.
What the fuck kind of gimmick is that?
Eric,
I remember him yelling that.
And Eric winds up wrestling the Musketeer without a referee, with the crowd literally making the calls.
Yes. Until finally Gino finally did come back out, and then I beat the Musketeer and defended my North American title, which I never lost. But I'm coming for you, WWE North American Champion, whomever you may be.
Yeah, WWE Online.
Yeah, WWEonline.com. Go there. Go to the shows. They're good.
All right, but going back, before we get any more ADD, what tape, what were you asking me about? Were you asking me about that match? Is that what you wanted to know?
Yeah, why don't you get, I really want that one online, that first match.
I don't
I
have it. I'll look around. I'll talk to the people.
GQ. GQ might have it.
That's what I'm saying. I'll ask
by the way, congratulations on GQ getting married.
I will send them your regards. GQ, another wrestling buddy of ours. Now he wrestles as Guillaume de Sade. I'm probably mispronouncing that. Also, got to give him a shout out too.
You ever think about the Barat show? About the Barat show that we did
for Nepal?
For the Nepalian people. Was Rob Flynn was do Rob Finn, the Mighty Finn, was doing a gimmick at the time where he was a Canadian Mountie, and he told everybody to stand up and respect him after he cursed everybody out for the Canadian national anthem. And everybody stood up and got quiet while they played the Canadian national anthem. I love Napoleon people. They're so respectful.
They actually listened. All right.
They actually listened.
Listen, man, I'm actually going to have to run this short, or else we're going to wind up getting cut off at least for the show on the show aspect.
No, damn it. They're going to cut you off.
They're going to cut off the show aspect today. Trust me on this. You know what? I just want to say, thank you for coming on the show.
On one last tyrant, one more tyrant, real quick.
Go ahead.
Okay, before I forget, three more important things, ladies and gentlemen. Just so you all know, I have officially decided to declare plans. Not this year coming, but in 4 years, ladies and gentlemen, I am planning to run for mayor of New York City. This is not a hoax. This is not something funny. I am going to run for mayor of New York, and my campaign is going to be real simple. Vote for Eric Adams. Why? Because Mike Bloomberg is a coño. That's going to be my ad. Thank you. I hope to see you out there. Remember,
we've had worse.
You have to vote for me because Mike Bloomberg is a coño.
That's right. MySpace.com, Eric Adams.
Thank you. That's my web address? Is that really my address?
I'm pretty sure that's the address, yeah.
Yeah, I think that is it. God damn. I don't know. I go on MySpace, so if you want to talk or chat, and if you're from England, I demand you explain to me how you get the beer so warm out of a tap.
That's a good goddamn question. All right. Pick up to all the people who drink Guinness. Pick up to all the people who drink Guinness. Anybody said you got anything to plug?
Fuck Guinness. The good shit. You got to get the good shit. The Newcastle. Newcastle is fucking delightful.
All right, man. You know what?
Really.
We're gonna.
And one more plug, real quick, again for the show this Saturday. The other plug I want to give is 646-982-6723. That's Richie Tyler's phone number. Please make sure to give him a call. Frank him, bust his ball. That's his cell phone. You can reach him at any time.
That's terrible.
Oh, you got one through. I'm sorry, Richie.
I told him I was going to do it tonight because he's an asshole, because he didn't call me to check on my staff infection.
So if anybody wants to prank Richie, I'm pretty sure he'll definitely appreciate anybody who wants to call and just play random hits off the WWF music CD.
No. You need to call him and call him a fat fuck over and over again. Just a fat
whatever
fuck.
Works.
Like, hey, fat fuck. You eating cupcakes again, you fat fuck? Say it like that.
Why?
So, yeah, when I get up to New York, we're going to a Met game, right?
You got it.
All right.
What we got to do? We got to bring a tape recorder and, like, tape record this shit, make it like a whole show. Like, me at the ballpark, Pablo, Sid, with Pab, Sid, and Eric.
We can always try, as long as it doesn't go down in flames, pick up the monk. Let's end this show right now. We'll see everybody in a week or so, whatever we feel like doing it, all right? Peace.